Well, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Buer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on in our series we're calling Beyond the Shallows. We're looking at really the gospel through the life of Simon Peter. And this Sunday, we were in John chapter 20, looking at the witness of the empty tomb, where Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb first. Some of the other gospel authors report that there are other ladies with her. And then John and Peter end up coming to the tomb. And John records that, you know, they looked into the tomb and they saw the linen strips, the headcloth lying there in its place. Simon Peter really doesn't understand what's going on yet. I think it's Luke who tells us that he went away still wondering, trying to piece together what has happened here. Nobody seems to be really anticipating the resurrection, even though Jesus told them that was going to happen. They first go to, you know, has someone taken the body? But John looks in. And it says he saw and he believed. That he saw and he believed. And then he goes on to tell us at the end of John chapter 20 that the reason he wrote these things, the reason that he's written this account of Christ's resurrection, of his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave, is that so that we might believe, that seeing these things and hearing these things, we might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, and that by believing, we might have life in his name. And so I asked our folks really three questions as we read this passage. I said, number one, do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, and that his cross paid for your sins? He was taking on the wrath of God against sin on himself at the cross. Do you believe that? That he paid for your sins at the cross, and do you believe that he rose again? Our faith is not based on a feeling, it's based on the person of Jesus Christ and on the historical reality, the fact that he rose again. Do you believe that? But then I ask a follow-up question to that. I ask number two, have you committed your entire life to Jesus? And maybe that sounds redundant in a sense. You're like, you already asked me if I believed in Jesus, but I have pressed on our folks a lot lately that, you know, that there's a difference between believing, you know, certain statements and really living that out. If in some ways the question number two is just a logical outworking of if you answered yes to number one. If you're saying that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, not just a good teacher, not someone to just be respected, not someone that is just an important figure in history, but you actually believe that he was the Son of God, that he beat death. Like, death has reigned from the Garden of Eden, seemingly reigned from the Garden of Eden all the way through human history. And then at the cross and at the resurrection, Jesus defeats death. We sang on Sunday that death was arrested, that he defeated death. That, I mean, that changes everything. If Jesus rose from the grave, then he really is who he says he is. And we can trust him and all the promises that he made during his lifetime. Those things are true. He really is the way, the truth, and the life, that we really can come to the Father through him and through him alone. We really can come to him and he'll produce in us rivers of living water. We'll never thirst again because of Jesus. All those things are true because Jesus rose from the grave. And if we say we believe that, then he's worthy of all of our worship. We can't say that we believe that and then just sort of go back to normal life and saying, hey, you know, it doesn't really impact my life. You know, I'll give you Sunday mornings and maybe an evening for life group. But other than that, you know, it doesn't really impact my life on a daily basis. It's no, like Jesus is alive and he calls us to follow him, to commit our whole lives to him. And then the final question that I ask people after saying, look, do you believe? Have you committed your entire life to Christ? All of you? Do you love him with all that you are? And then finally, will you tell others? Will you tell others about Jesus? And really, that's part of committing your life to Christ, is that you then say, I'm joining the mission of God. I am going to go and share my faith, share Christ with other people. And I think that's a challenge for many of us. I know in my own life, I'm a pastor. I've been in ministry, vocational ministry for 10 years, and that's still a challenge for me. I have to be very intentional about, Lord, give me opportunities to share the gospel with others. I have to be looking at my neighbors or my friends or people that I'm coming into contact with and saying, look, if they don't know and love Jesus, well, then maybe God's sending me to them. And so I want to encourage you right now. Maybe you don't feel equipped for that. Maybe you don't feel confident in sharing your story and God's story in connection with your story and how he saved you. This fall, I think we'll likely go through some evangelism training, probably in the context of our life groups, just trying to help folks be equipped, to equip folks and help them to feel more confident in sharing their faith. But I don't think you have to wait until then. I think you can start now. And the step that I would start with now, maybe two things. Number one, just begin even to yourself practicing your story, just telling your story of how did God save me? You know, when did I come to know and love Jesus? What have I seen God do in my life? Rehearse those things. Talk it out loud. Talk to someone in your life group. Ask them, can I just share with you, you know, really my testimony? If we can't talk with other believers about what God is doing in our lives and about Christ, then it may be difficult for us to talk to folks who don't know and love Jesus. So start with folks who love Christ and just ask, can I talk with you about what God is doing in my life, practicing shifting from sort of regular conversation to God-centered conversation. And then secondly, I would say, just ask the question, who in my life right now doesn't have a relationship with Jesus? Is it my neighbor? Is it my coworker? Is it my spouse? Or is it my kids? Do I have a friend, right? Someone in the family, someone else in the family, right? Who doesn't know and love Jesus? And would you just begin to pray for them? Would you begin to pray? We've often called this, who's your one, right? Who's one person in your life that you can begin to pray for on a regular basis that God would move in their life, that he would give them a saving knowledge of himself, and that maybe he'd use you to be the person to bring Christ and share Christ with them. Those two things. Begin practicing your story, telling your story, going over what God is doing in your life, practicing shifting sort of from normal conversation to gospel conversation or God-centered conversation. And then secondly, begin praying for someone right now who doesn't know and love Jesus. Let me pray for you and then encourage you to take some time to pray for yourself. Father, we love you. And God, we are reminded that when we're saved, we're sent. And it is a privilege, Father. Romans chapter 10, Paul says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. It's not a burden. It's not an obligation. It's a privilege for us to share with others what Jesus has done when he paid for our sin at the cross and he rose again, that he is alive and that we can have new life in him. Give us the boldness and the courage and the joy in you that we need to share that with others. Give us opportunities to do so. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage you now to take some time again to pray for yourself, and then we'll see you tomorrow on the LifePoint Drivecast.